There will now be an opportunity for silent prayer or meditation. Please be seated. Honorable members, before we proceed with today's business, I wish to announce that the vacancy which occurred in the National Assembly due to the passing of Mr. C. McKenzie has been filled by the nomination of Dr. V. N. Khumalo with effect from the 9th of September 2021. The member has made and subscribed the oath in the Speaker's office. I welcome you, Honorable Member. Lastly, in the interest of safety for all present in the chamber, please keep your mask on and sit in your designated areas. I thank you. The Secretary will read the first to fourth orders together.
Medium-term budget policy statement, introduction of the Adjustments Appropriation Bill, introduction of the Rates and Monetary Amounts and Amendment of Revenue Laws Bill, introduction of the Taxation Laws Amendment Bill.
I now recognize the Honorable, the Minister of Finance from the Chamber.
Madam Speaker, His Excellency President Cyril Ramaphosa, the Deputy President David Mabuza, Cabinet colleagues, members of the Executive Committee for Finance in various provinces, the Governor of the South African Reserve Bank, the Commissioner of the South African Revenue Services, Honorable Members. I'm honored to table the following documents before this House. The 2021 Division of Revenue Bill, the 2021 Adjustment Appropriation Bill, the 2021 Rates, Monetary Accounts and Amendment Revenue Laws Bill, the 2021 Taxation Law Amendments Bill, Tax Administration Laws Amendment Bill, the Revised Fiscal Framework, the 2021 Adjustment Estimate of National Expenditure, the 2021 Medium-Term Budget Policy Statement. Madam Speaker, we are tabling the 2021 Medium-Term Budget Policy Statement under unprecedented conditions. The COVID-19 crisis has caused severe disruptions to economies the world over. It has forced governments to pay even greater attention to the task of saving lives and preserving livelihoods. In addition to the high cost to human life, the crisis is likely to leave deep and long-lasting scars on the global economy and human lives. The scaring impact of the crisis is evident in the increased debt levels, income vulnerabilities, while unemployment, poverty, and inequality are deepening. This is a crisis like no other. Almost 4 months ago, in certain parts of our country, we witnessed disturbing incidences of violence and destruction of property never seen in post-apartheid South Africa. Once again, lives were lost and people's livelihoods were taken away. Infrastructure was destroyed, investor confidence was battered, and our economic prospects were dealt a severe blow. These incidents exposed the fragility of South Africa's social, economic, and political compact. They remind us of the ease with which the plight of the poor and unemployed can be exploited to achieve political ends. I wish to take this opportunity, Madam Speaker, and honored members, to pay tribute to the resilience of the people of South Africa during these hard and trying times. We are a resilient and dynamic people. On many occasions, when faced with extreme difficulties, we have always managed to emerge even stronger. On the first of this month, our country held its sixth democratic local government elections. Once again, our people responded to the Freedom Charter's clarion call that the people shall govern. And no government can justly claim authority unless it's based on the will of the people. And I think we must respect that decision. I was saying to somebody else, I was told and taught in the movement that the strategic task of the National Liberation Movement is transfer of power to the people, not to the ANC. Transfer of power to the people. We have become an instrument. We are fortunate that the people of South Africa for almost three decades have selected us to be the instrument to exercise that power on their behalf. And that's a privilege we should respect. And I'm quite convinced, despite the setbacks we have had, that our people continue to support the African National Congress. That's why we said they. So I have said they understand the no government can justly claim authority unless it's based on the will of the people. It's an important event. Madam Speaker, amid the COVID-19 pandemic, global economic recovery is continuing. However, high and more persistent inflation, as well as the outlook for commodity prices, have brought the uncertainty about medium-term local, long-term economic growth. The global economy is projected to grow at 5.9% in 2021 and 49% in 2022. Advanced economies are expected to return to pre-pandemic expectation for the growth in 2022, while emerging markets and developing economies are expected to remain below pre-pandemic projections. Notably, growth has recovered faster than employment. In the first half of 2021, the South African economy recovered more quickly than expected, reflecting less stringent COVID-19 restrictions, along with lower interest rate, support from strong international demand, and higher commodity prices. We now expect the South African economy to grow by 5.1% in 2021, from a 6.4% contraction in 2024. Over the next 3 years, the growth of the local economy is expected to average 1.7%, reflecting some structural weaknesses such as inadequate electricity supply. Madam Speaker, the strength of the South African economic recovery will also depend on the rollout of vaccine. A higher take-up of vaccine will reduce the risk of future waves of the pandemic and associated disruptions to economic activity. The speed and scale of vaccination, therefore, is of essence. There should be no room for hesitancy. Madam Speaker, this year marks the 25th of the medium-term budget policy statement to be tabled in this half. We have indeed come a long way in improving transparency and credibility of our budget processes. The 2021 medium-term budget policy statement is about navigating South Africa's path to economic and social recovery, drawing on the resilience of our people, as well as restoring the sustainability of our public finances and the dignity of our people in the face of a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic. The medium-term budget policy statement charts a course that demonstrates government's unflinching commitment to fiscal sustainability, enabling long-term growth by narrowing the budget deficit and stabilizing the debt. Critical to the fiscal path we've chosen is the need to be clear and unambiguous on the trade-offs we're willing to make as a nation. We cannot do everything we want at the same time. Equally important is the faster implementation of structural reforms to unlock greater private sector investment, economic growth, and job creation. A fast-growing economy will allow for greater revenue collection, making it impossible for more comprehensive responses to the challenges we face. Madam Speaker, considering the economic outlook and the risk associated with it, it is critical that we accelerate economic reforms for long-run growth. These reforms should focus on improving competitiveness, productivity, investment, and employment. Our first and immediate task in this regard must be to ensure stable energy supply, reduce the risk of load shedding, and accelerate the transition to renewable energy sources. All of our efforts over the past 13 years have been to fix Eskom. Instead of securing supply of adding additional capacity to the grid, we have already made significant progress in correcting this. The amendment of Schedule 2 of the Electricity Regulation Act of 2006 has raised the licensing threshold from 1 megawatt to about 100 megawatts. It has also made it possible for private power generation to sell directly to customers. This will alleviate the risk of power cuts. The amended regulations will further enable municipalities to sell generation or procure power directly from independent power producers. We've also begun to reduce our reliance on Eskom by diversifying our primary energy sources. The gains from these diversifications are demonstrated by the outcome of the most recent round of the renewable energy in independent power producers program. The 25 projects that are part of the latest round of bid window 5 will generate more than 2,500 megawatts of power at a weighted average price of 47.3 cents per kilowatt hour. This is the cheapest rate achieved in the history of the program and is among the lowest rates ever achieved worldwide. Over the long term, creating a competitive energy market will help contain the cost of generating electricity and support GDP growth. The second set of reforms must continue to focus on about improving the efficiency of South Africa's logistic framework to support economic growth. In this regard, government has announced the corporatization of Transnet National Ports Authority as an independent subsidiary of Transnet and appointed an interim board. This will create an incentive for efficiency and competitiveness between port service providers, reducing delays, improving services, and introducing cost discipline. Transnet Freight Rail will allow third-party access in the freight rail network by the end of 2022. Allowing private rail operators to use the freight rail network will bolster systems volume and capacity. The third area is the speed resolution of issues blocking the release of high demand spectrum and making affordable data available to firms and households. I'm aware that a lot of work is being done to overcome obstacles to this release of spectrum. The majority of the problems we're facing in this regard are not of government's creation. Largely, what is a problem is the litigation between the parties and therefore delaying progress in this regard. We would probably appeal to the affected parties to find an amicable solution as soon as possible. Madam Speaker, we must ensure the completion of digital migration by March 2022. This is crucial to enable the full use of additional spectrum that will be auctioned. Fourthly, to boost tourism and attract skills, the now completed e-visa system will be rolled out to 15 countries by March 22. Fifthly, in the water sector, legislative drafting and financial modeling have been done to establish a national water resource infrastructure agency responsible for improving the management of bulk water resources. The Department of Water and Sanitation is fast tracking in its application process to ensure that the 90-day target for issuing single-use water licenses will be implemented by March 22 as part of improving ease of doing business. Madam Speaker, this package of reforms demonstrate government's commitment to create a conducive environment for the growth and development of our economy. In addition, we must remove regulatory burden on small and medium enterprises and cooperatives. In this regard, we'll investigate different forms of support even for township, inner city, and rural enterprise. I must make the point, particularly in areas such as the Bantustan, we've got a lot of factories space that was created during the Bantustan, where they talk about Dimbaza, Fort Jackson, Isithebe, Kwakwa, Babelere, all those areas. We need to make sure that we create an investment conducive that those areas must be revived. That was going to require some part of incentive support from government. Also of importance is the need to strive for policy coherence and policy certainty across government. We must also continue to strengthen the capacity of the state to implement policy and intervene in the economy in a manner that enhances and not inhibits growth. Madam Speaker, the economic reconstruction and economic and recovery plan identifies infrastructure development as a critical component of changing our economic fortunes. In total, 62 priority infrastructure projects were gazetted last year. An additional 55 new projects from various sectors valued at around 595 billion rand, with a funding gap of around 451 billion, were recently unveiled. Therefore, we'll need partnership with the private sector to fulfill this funding gap. The infrastructure fund is an important intervention towards our strategic goal of ensuring that total investment in public infrastructure is nearly 30% of gross fiscal capital formation by 2030. As envisioned in the National Development Plan. We'll maintain our commitment to the fund, including allocating 100 billion over the decade from 2019-2020, as committed in the previous budget. Further work is being done to unlock more infrastructure projects for execution. There is a strong collaboration with government department and other institutions such as Infrastructure South Africa, the Development Bank of Southern Africa prepares for projects within investment valued 84.5 billion in the telecommunications, water and sanitation, as well as transport sectors. Madam Speaker, the facilitation of trade across our borders is an important enabling economic activity, especially as we're implementing the African Continental Free Trade Agreement. Across our continent, infrastructure is underdeveloped, and Systems are outdated, resulting in inefficiencies and long delays. This is also breeds criminality. Last week, I visited the Bait Bridge border post with the SARS commissioner and the DG to assess firsthand the operational challenges at the port of entry. Bait Bridge typically processes around 900 commercial vehicles and 25,000 travelers during the peak period per day. It simply cannot cope. It is estimated that the economic cost of the inefficiencies at Bait Bridge does to South Africa amount to several billions of rands per year. We must act with speed to improve the infrastructure and modernize the customs system at all our ports. This will contribute significantly towards greater revenue collection and trade facilitation and border protection. Let me reiterate, Madam Speaker, that government cannot drive economic recovery and growth alone, because most areas of economic activity are dominated by the private sector, including investment, employment, and innovation. In this, we strongly call on greater social compact to raise growth and improve livelihoods. Madam Speaker, following the global financial crisis of 2008, South Africa adopted a counter-cyclical fiscal policy. This means that as the economy underperformed, government increased its deficit to counter the impact of the crisis. We spent more than we received in tax and revenues on a consistent basis. This, together with the composition of spending, did not meaningfully increase growth. Instead of getting higher growth from fiscal expansion, our debt continued to rise. The stock of debt, the 4 trillion in debt that we now owe, is incurring debt service costs that will become the largest portion of spending compared to individual functions from next year. These debt service costs are not discretionary. In other words, we cannot avoid paying them. Their effect, therefore, is to crowd out other spending priorities. Debt service costs are expected to rise from 269.2 billion in 2021-22, that's the next financial year, to about 365.8 billion in 2024-25. This is higher than the health and police service budget. Nevertheless, there have been some positive developments on the fiscal side. Tax collections have exceeded expectations in the short term. Revenue for 21-22 is now estimated to reach 1.5 trillion compared to 1.4 trillion at the time of the 2021 budget in February. This is an upward revision of about 120 billion rand. The consolidated budget just expected to be 7.8% of GDP in 21-22, gradually lowering to 4.9% in 24-25. Taxes paid by the mining sector have been strong due to the commodity price rally, which continued through the first half of 2021. Minister Mandasha was boasting the other day. He said, no, I'm feeding you guys these days because of what happened in mining. So the mining sector has been doing well, has given us sufficient revenue. This about 85% of that 120 billion rand is from the mining sector. Notably, however, precious metals prices have started to soften. This means the revenue gains from the commodity prices rally are expected to be temporary. Therefore, we should be careful about our spending commitments. We recall what I said earlier on. Because of the temporary nature of that revenue, you can't commit it to long-term projects. You've got to commit it to short-term projects. We should not make permanent spending commitments from short-term revenue benefits. This approach is embedded in our fiscal framework. We are of the view that revenue can be increased with a more effective and efficient revenue collection authority. In this regard, SARS has already started to utilize the additional funding that we provided to them in 2021 budget by hiring skilled tax and custom auditors and data scientists to boost compliance and collection, as well as accelerate modernization. Madam Speaker, the additional revenue due to the commodity price rally created space for government to provide additional support for poverty and employment programs this year without negatively impacting the fiscal position. Following on from the fiscal response last year, government has provided an additional 48.9 billion rand in fiscal support due to the unrest that took place in July and the impact of the COVID-19 lockdown. This includes the 37.9 billion in direct fiscal support. We're now making an additional 11 billion available to the South African Special Risk Insurance Association, which is called SASRIA, to enable them to continue settling legitimate claims from businesses damages during the unrest. The criminal activity we witnessed during the unrest reminds us that crime continues to be a blight on our society. It undermines confidence in our recovery and hinders our long-term economic development. To strengthen the fight against crime, we have allocated additional funding to the South African National Defence Fund and the police services. All South Africans deserve to be safe. We must not fail in this. Madam Speaker, the medium-term budget policy statement is also about continuing our country's response to COVID-19. And its resultant economic and social impact by providing additional short-term support where needed. This year, we're increasing non-interest spending by 59.4 billion. The revised 2021-22 fiscal framework includes 3 billion in the contingency reserve for additional vaccine purchases and 11 billion as a provincial allocation, as I've said, to SASRIA for a risk coverage in the wake of the unrest in July. Aside from the allocation in the special appropriation bill, I tabled in August. There was a special appropriation bill we tabled in August. Most of the adjustment, 20.5 billion, are to cater for the higher than budgeted public sector wage agreement. Madam Speaker and honourable members, our budget over the next 3 years is focused on service delivery and is highly redistributive. You know, I was asked by journalists in the press conference, is this budget pro-poor? I said to this journalist, tell me this question. If 60% of non-interest spending, 60% of non-interest spending is on the social wage, what does that mean? When people say this budget is not pro-poor, they must answer that question. Consolidated government spending is expected to increase from 2.1 trillion to 2.24 trillion over the 3 years. Put differently, government will spend more than 6.4 trillion over the next 3 years. A key concern of government is the huge unemployment challenge we face as a country. South Africa continues to grapple with the long-run unemployment, and in the current conditions, unemployment is lagging the economic recovery. Government recognizes that we need more private sector jobs driven by a strong and growing investment climate. At the same time, the state must play a role in mitigating the impact of this crisis. And that's important. I must repeat this. Government must play an important role in mitigating the impact of this crisis. We've never said that should not happen. Accordingly, the 2022 budget will allocate almost 74 billion rand towards public employment programs over the MTF. In addition, further opportunities will be explored for supporting employment through other means. Government will also maintain its commitment to support fee-free higher education. In this regard, funding for fee-free higher education and training has been increased. In the 2021 government spending, 44.7 billion in this is in this function. This has been increased to 56.8 billion in the current year. Over the 22 MTF, funding for higher education will total 158.8 billion. Honored members, as you are aware, the current social relief of distress grant is coming to an end in March. Let me emphasize this thing. But abantu ku treasury nama nesukela abantu kwethu. Nasukela. This government said it is extending it up to the end of March. Uhulumende uchilo up to the end of March. Treasury usathe cwaka. Bathanza abanye ophandla bokuthi hayi utreasury uthe iyaphela. Hayi uhulumende uthe extend until the end of March. Kwalo uhulumende will decide this government. Will decide whether to extend it or not to extend it. Yeka no treasury lahlale yedwa. Mama ufuna uhulumende ngokuba The budget is a decision of the government, not of treasury. If Nathan Mapo and the Nepong were bending the cabinet, they are perfume. Not him. The grant has benefited about 9.5 million South Africans. This is over and above the existing social security grants. Today, 27.8 million South Africans are social grant recipients of one or another. This accounts for about 46% of our population. At the same time, the number of people working has declined, further underlining the critical flaws in our economy. Our total spending on the social wage is also very high. This amount has grown to 806 billion from 2018 to 2019 to 1.1 trillion in 2021-2022. That's about 60% of total non-interest spending. Annual goes towards housing development, free basic services, employment programs, and so on and so on. It goes to that. So about 60% of total non-interest spending, as I've said earlier, annually goes towards housing development, free basic services, employment programs, health, education, social grants, among other things. Overall, the South African government is acknowledged as having one of the most comprehensive and expansive social security system in the world. And there are ongoing discussions about social safety net. Details on our interventions with regard to the social security net will be provided in the February 2022 budget. Yeah, Vaga, Indeed. Lombuzo abantu bawubuza esitatweni uyophendula kwangulo hulumende kodwa ndayithetha loo nto ngofebruwari. Bafuna ndiphendule ingafiki ixesha laloo nto alikafiki ngofebruwari ndizawuphendula ekubeni after ugovernment has pronounced on this matter. Yeah. Let me have, however, reiterate that a permanent solution in responding to these challenges is to achieve higher and sustainable level of economic growth. Madam Speaker, state-owned companies are intended to be important as enablers of economic development. Many SOEs, however, have been badly managed and have failed to deliver. In many instances, they've also been devastated by state capture, making them increasingly reliant on government. Since 2013, for instance, government has directed more than 290 billion rand to bail out state-owned companies at the expense of important social expenditure. Going forward, the restructuring of state-owned companies, informed by an assessment of their strategic relevance, is a priority. In this medium-term budget policy statement, no additional funding is provided for state-owned companies. The exception is to this is where guarantees have been called by creditors and conditions have been met by the OEC in question within the context of their strategic importance. Now, I was asked by a journalist, what does this mean? Did you know this is tough love? Tough love. These institutions, we've got to love them, support them, but not a laissez faire. At some point, we need to draw a line and say, I know that performing a wish. Tough love. We must be prepared to consolidate some of our state-owned entities and let go of those that are not longer considered strategically relevant. Our retirement reforms, before getting to retirement reforms, when I took over, I was appointed, Mr. President, I got a couple of calls, I suspect, to the teachers. Ungasilibali umbo wenu ebesesithembisile noko umntakwethu. Ungazi withdrawal. Bebese bathembisile umbo wenu. So I'm answering that question now, but not in full. On retirement reforms, we are proposing measures to boost household savings by increasing preservation before retirement, and to increase flexibility through partial access to retirement funds through what is called a two-pot system. In terms of this system, individuals will be able to access contribution to one end of the pot while contributing to other pot would be saved until retirement. These measures would require legislative changes. These measures would require legislative changes and further consultation. Limited withdrawals would also depend on affordability and liquidity of the fund. National Treasury will publish shortly a discussion document on the details of this proposal to obtain inputs before further announcement to be made in February budget 2022. The reason it has got to be made in February 2022 is because we will have to pass it together with the tax legislation. We'll have to pass legislation to give effect to it. To ensure equitable allocation of resources to provinces in response to the need to strengthen service delivery, the health component of the provincial equitable share has been revised and will be implemented from the year 2022-2023 financial year. Meanwhile, provinces receive almost 2 trillion in transfers over the next 20 from MTF. That is starting from the next financial year. These allocations are made to maintain our commitment to the delivery of education, health, and other social services to our people. Madam Speaker, local government remains at the coalface of service delivery. It is the sphere of government closest to our people. Over the 2022 MTF, municipalities will receive more than 450 billion rand from the national fiscus. Our immediate task is to build capable and stable local government that delivers service effectively and efficiently. The 2022 budget will give details on the steps we are taking in this regard. Currently, there are 43 municipalities countrywide which are financially in crisis, with another 100 municipalities at risk of similar crisis. To deal with the 43 municipalities already in crisis, I have specified the expected course of action to be taken by all premiers, the provincial executives, and MEC in ensuring that the problems in these municipalities are dealt with in a more sustainable manner. This is in line with the national government's commitment to ensuring sound fiscal management and greater fiscal responsibility in the local government sphere. Let me take this opportunity to call upon the newly elected councillors to work hard to improve the state of their municipalities and to cooperate with the support initiatives of provincial and national government. For our growth and recovery agenda to succeed, we need a state that is capable, well-governed, and a society that is free of crime and corruption. Within government, there continues to be inefficiency in government expenditure due to corruption, wastage, and various other forms of maladministration. One critical part of our reform agenda is in the procurement system. I'm therefore delighted to announce that we are reaching the final stage of the finalization of the public procurement bill. We anticipate that that bill will be tabled before Parliament early next year in the financial year. Madam Speaker, the Judicial Commission of Inquiry into Allegation of State Capture, chaired by Deputy Justice Zondo, will soon present its report with its findings to the President. We look forward to swift action by the criminal justice institution to prosecute those responsible for the damage caused by the State Capture Project. For our part, we are working with all the relevant authorities and financial sector regulators to address deficiencies in our system and to sharpen our ability to deal more effectively and more speedily with all the financial crimes. In early 2020, we introduced a loan guarantee scheme, which enabled commercial banks to support firms in distress as a result of the COVID-19 crisis. This program has been concluded. In its place, we are considering a new business support measure to enable affected businesses to bounce back. This will be done by providing expanded funding options, broadening the types of financial institutions we can provide this function to include DFIs and non-banks. We are working closely with the South African Reserve Bank, the Banking Association, and other stakeholders to finalize this proposal. Further details will be announced shortly. Madam Speaker, in Glasgow, in the United Kingdom, nations of the world gathered for the 26th United Nations Climate Change Conference of Parties, what is called COP26. Our climate change mitigation commitments are bold, However, we need global coordinated initiative to succeed in reducing greenhouse gas emissions. If we invest in the correct infrastructure for the future, we'll be able to take advantage of opportunities to increase our trade with other countries. We note and welcome promises for funding to support our transition to a low carbon economy. We strongly welcome this commitment and will engage further on the details and obligations of all parties in this regard. Madam Speaker, as I conclude, let me reflect on key points we're making today. This medium-term budget policy statement is a call to action, a change to ourselves to once again renew the promise of a country that many fought for and have sacrificed much. We must continue to focus on saving lives and livelihoods. Between now and February 2022, we'll be working on the details of measures to deal with the socio-economic challenges we face, especially the crisis of unemployment and poverty. This must be done in a manner that does not depart from the strategy of stabilizing government debt. Recommendation in this regard will depend on the availability of resources, of course, including policy trade-offs and reprioritization. We reiterate that the key to resolving our development challenge is the need to push ahead with structural reforms necessary to unlock the growth of our economy. These reforms will include bringing additional electricity capacity into the grid in addition to fixing Eskom. Honourable members, the task of growing our economy requires that we work together as South Africans, single-minded in our understanding that working alone, none of us can achieve the desired results. Madam Speaker, I wish to thank the President, Deputy President for their leadership and guidance during these difficult times. I want also to express my appreciation to Deputy Minister David Masondo for his support, the Treasury staff, led by the Director General Mokajane, continue to undertake their task with dedication, and I express my thanks to them. My sincere thanks also goes to the Commissioner of the South African Revenue Service, Mr. Edward Kayswest, and the hard-working team of SARS. Many thanks to them, to the Governor number 10 of the South African Reserve Bank, Governor Lesetsha Khanyo, and the staff of the bank for their work and support. Let me also thank my colleagues in the Minta's Committee on Budget and the Budget Council, who have shared the load of tough decisions that have been made in the current climate. Similarly, the Parliamentary Committee of Finance and Appropriation, whose impressive record of processing the bills we table in as an unblemished, even as we have come to them more often than not since last year. Finally, I want to thank also my family. I've had difficult times over the past few months, including my wife, of course. And to millions of South Africans whose resilience and courage during these times of pandemic and economic difficulties, you are an inspiration to all of us. We have privilege to serve the public sector. I thank you.
Order. I thank the Honorable the Minister. The papers tabled by the Minister will be referred to the relevant committees. Order, Honorable Members. Today we have received the news of the passing on of Mr. de Klerk. And at the appropriate time, Parliament will have the honor to pay tribute. At this point, the House, this now concludes the business for the day, and the House is adjourned. I thank you, Honorable Members.